All right. I need to start off today with a little bit of a confession. And normally I don't get nervous speaking to people, but I've been a little bit nervous the past couple days just because I want to talk to you today about perspective. And this last week, I got a pretty healthy dose of bad perspective. I'm not going to go into details about it. I'm not going to share everything because it was, anyway, no details. If you want to talk to me about it later, you can, but I may not share. So anyway, perspective is an interesting thing in life. You know, sometimes you look at something, you look at a situation, a circumstance, and you think, how could this get any worse? And then, you know, 2 minutes later, you hear about something that is infinitely worse than the situation you just thought couldn't be any worse. So to get started today, I'm going to show you a few pictures. And if you've got an answer, raise your hand. I'll call on you, and you can tell me what you see. All right, so do you see what I see? Yes, what do you see? Two faces. Does anybody see the same thing? Does anybody see something different? What do you see? A vase. Okay, so depending on how you're looking at it, it could be two different things. Anybody? Come on, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see that? Okay, so some of you see an old lady. Does anybody see anything different? A frog? I don't see that, but you got to stretch. You got to open the box a little bit. All right, I have perspective, exactly. You know, like we don't. Okay, does anybody see a young woman? Okay, a few of you do. All right. So depending on how you look at it, you could see a frog. I still am working on that one. What about this one? Okay, somebody sees a man smoking a pipe. Anybody see anything else? A horse, yeah. You see there's the eye, there's the ear, there's the nose and the mouth right there. All right, a little bit of perspective there. And then what do you see here? Taylor Swift. All right. And or somebody playing a saxophone. All right. So have you ever heard anybody say, that's not fair? Every day, okay? If you're ever around a group of kids long enough and they're playing a game, you will always, and I don't use words like that very often, but always hear the words, that's not fair, come out of somebody's mouth. Even if it is fair, they could be playing by the rules, they could be playing exactly how they're supposed to, but something's not fair because they're not winning. You know, sometimes it's a big deal that things aren't fair. You know, things in life sometimes are not fair. And sometimes it's a big deal, sometimes it's not so big, but we cry foul anyway. You know, for example, you know, if you hear of a CEO of a company who's embezzled millions and millions of dollars from people, unsuspecting people, that's a big deal. That's a lot of money. People don't like to be taken advantage of. On the other hand, you know, if I'm in this 10-mile-long line of people waiting to get off of an exit and it's just backed up and somebody zooms ahead and cuts in at the last minute, you know, I think that's not fair. And I'll probably tell somebody about it that it's not fair. But it's not as big a deal as the millions of dollars of embezzlement. Okay, so perspective is important. Keep perspective in mind. And basically, just to define that, what I'm talking about is just your way of looking at things, your point of view. I want to share a story with you. One time, I had volunteered with my mother-in-law. She used to be the executive director for Easter Seals, and she did this activity day at the state fair every year. So I said, I'll meet you there. I'll lead a group of teens and young adults around the fair all day, and it was hot. And it was a great day, but I tell you what, when I left the state fair, I was absolutely exhausted. I wanted to get home, lay on the couch, and just veg out. I mean, I was ready just to crash. So on the way home, I'm on I-465, which the speed limit there is 55 miles per hour. That's really slow for that area. Anyway, perspective. So I'm going 61 miles per hour, which is slower than I normally go on 465. I'm going 61, just, you know, and I see this cop, and there go the lights. I'm like, no, not today, please, not today. So he pulls me over, and, of course, the first question he asks is, do you know how fast you're going? Yes, I do. I was going 61. That's what I had you at. All right, no problem, okay. You know, because everybody always says you get 10 miles an hour on the interstate, right? So he goes back to his car. He comes back about 5 minutes later with a $100 ticket. What? No, you can't give me. There were people passing me the whole time I've been on the interstate. I get home, and I'm just flaming mad, and I'm talking to Kelly, and I'm like, what is this guy's problem? I'm going six over on the interstate. He gives me a $100 ticket, and she's like, were you breaking the law? Yes. Yes, I was breaking the law. Pay the ticket. Because I'm going into this whole, oh, I'm going to fight this. Were you breaking the law? In my wife's wise ways, she put it into perspective. Were you breaking the law? Yeah, I was. Paid the ticket. As you can tell, I may or may not have gotten over this. So the answer was, yeah, I broke the law. I deserve to pay the fine. Despite my best attempts to rationalize or justify what I had done, or, you know, I had to pay the ticket. Bottom line, if you're willing to break the rule, you got to be willing to pay the consequence, right? So now, I don't always follow exactly the speed limit, but most of the time, if it's 55, I'm going 55. Because you know what happens? If you're going 55 and a 55, you get to keep going. Nobody's going to pull you over unless you're swerving in and out of the lanes, but that's another story. A lot of times we try to justify our actions based on other people's actions. You know, I may say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as, you know, those people are passing me all over the place. Why didn't you pull them over? Or I say, I'm not as bad as that person. You know, or I would never do anything like that. You know, it's about perspective. You know, are you in their shoes? Have you walked a mile in their shoes? Don't say you wouldn't do something if you haven't been in that situation. We think that somehow God is going to grade us on the curve. And let me see if I had a slide for that. You know, in sometimes you take a class and you're like, oh, they're going to grade on the curve. You know, God doesn't grade on the curve. God has one standard. Okay, if you sin, you earn death. That's the standard. That's pretty severe. Now, can you imagine if, let me get to the right one here. Maybe I should have just left these alone. Sin equals death. Imagine if in the United States of America, we held the same standard. You break a law, you die. Do you think we'd have less lawbreakers? Would you go exactly 55 miles per hour in a 55 if the penalty was death for breaking that? You steal a pen from work, death. You jaywalked, death. That's a pretty high standard, okay? God's standard is you sin, you've earned death. Okay? Raise your hand. Be honest if you've ever sinned. I'm not going to ask you if you've sinned today because I would be embarrassed. Now, I want to tell you something. I've had a pretty easy life. When I look back on my life, you know, it's not to say it's all been easy. It's not all been, you know, perfect. But the truth is I've had a pretty easy life. Sometimes I get down about something and I get upset with, you know, how something's going, or and I lose perspective on what is truly going on. There's a little boy that lives near us. I don't know if he's 4 maybe, has cancer. I mean, I complain sometimes about how things are going. I'm like, man, I don't have anything going on that's, I mean, don't even talk to me about fair. That's not fair. Okay? I have a friend of mine who lives in Muncie. They, several years ago, they got pregnant, found out during the pregnancy that their child would have had a heart defect. She lived about 5 days and died. Then they decided they were going to adopt. They adopted a little boy from Muncie. On the 30th day, the last day that the parent could sign for rights, they did. That baby was taken away from them. That is not fair. You know, children are born into abusive homes. People running the Boston Marathon a few weeks ago had to deal with a bomb. That's not fair. People take advantage of the welfare system. That's not fair. You know, we look at things through our lenses, through our eyes, and that's normal. You know, we just naturally do that because that's our perspective. But I think sometimes if we step outside of that and say, what am I really going through? What am I really dealing with? It doesn't look quite as bad as you thought it did. And I want to share another thing. The wages of sin is death. It tells us that in Romans, okay? When you sin, you've earned death. But you know what? Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to come and I'm going to live my life. I'm never going to do anything wrong. And I'm going to take that penalty for you. That's not fair. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's not fair. I know what I deserve. It's not fair that somebody said, you know what? I'm going to take that for you. I'm going to pay that penalty on your behalf. But you know what? Should I just not accept it then? No, I'm going to take that. I will take that deal. I want to, you know, we sang this song just a little bit ago, and it said this. This was one of the lines. The beauty of grace is that it makes life not fair. What that means is, God has offered us grace. He's offered us mercy. Justice is death. Justice for our sin. And even in the book of James, he goes as far as to say that if you've done one thing, you are guilty of every single sin. I've done one thing, so I'm guilty of all of it. Because the penalty for any sin is death. I feel like I'm maybe emphasizing that a lot. God is infinitely just. There has never been a judge outside of him who has been right every time. His definition of justice is you sin, you die. However, he says, I choose to have mercy on you. And mercy trumps justice. Justice in God's eyes, we know what that is. And I've earned that, every bit of it. But he said, I want to show you mercy. Imagine, if you will, a kingdom. You have a king, and he's overseeing his people. And there's a group of kings that get together, and they say, we need someone to be in charge of this group of kings. We're going to make a king of the kings. So they choose this king, and he says, you know, my people are doing all these things against me. They're revolting against my kingdom. How will I show them justice? I think I'm going to send my only son to die for them. It's unfathomable. I mean, my mind can't comprehend that. I mean, just even imagine in our country. Let's say Barack Obama said, you know what? These people are doing terrible things. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sacrifice my daughter in their place, because I think that would show them that I love them. I mean, what would people do if that? it doesn't make sense, does it? But God said, these people are going against everything I wanted them to do. So I'm going to send my only son to die in place of their penalty. Like, sometimes I think we lose touch of that because, you know, I have a tendency sometimes to read through the Bible and, man, that's a great story. But, you know, how do I really absorb that into my heart and my soul? Like, imagine if that happened today. I mean, people wouldn't let that happen. But God said, this is how I'm going to show them that I love them. There's an amazing story in John chapter 8 where this woman is brought to Jesus. All the time, the Pharisees and the religious leaders were trying to get him to say something that was going to get him in trouble. That was going to just, it seems like if you read through the Gospels that all the time they're just trying to trick him, to do something that's going to get him arrested or in trouble. So they bring this woman to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. And the penalty in that time for that offense was death by stoning. Severe, severe penalty. Obviously, this woman had to have been just beside herself. Now, obviously, there had to have been a man involved. He wasn't around. I don't know why. All we know is that this woman was brought before Jesus, and they said, Jesus, what should we do with this woman? The law says that we should stone her. And I don't know what he writes. We don't have any indication of what Jesus wrote, but it says he bends down, writes something in the sand. I don't know, maybe he was building a castle. I don't know. It doesn't say. I'm going to ask him someday when I see him. What'd you write? He stands up and he says, listen to this. If you've never sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone. So justice in this situation, this woman deserved to die. According to the law, she deserved death. Jesus said, I'm going to show you love. I'm going to show you mercy. So it says, I love this, starting with the oldest first, they start dropping the rocks and walking away. Because they know that he got them. And I love that about Jesus. Like, I mean, if you just read, like, through the story of Jesus, like, he's always just throwing it back in their face. Like, oh, awesome. I wish I could do that. Usually I think of the comeback, like, 5 days later. It's too late. But Jesus says, if you've never sinned, go ahead. Throw the first stone. So the one person in that whole area that could have, Jesus said, listen. Your accusers have gone. You don't have anything to worry about anymore. But I want you to go from this point and don't sin anymore. Don't do it again. How do you think that impacted that woman? I mean, she knew. She absolutely knew what she deserved. And according to the law, she should have been dead. Jesus said, I want to show you mercy. I mean, there's another time that Jesus was with his disciples, and they were in the temple, and there were these two men that were praying, and this one man gets up, and he stands up, and he's like, God, I thank you that I am not a sinner like all of these. I tithe the tenth of everything I make, and I fast all the time. Very proud. And you know what? He probably was a good guy. A little arrogant maybe, but a good guy. Then there's another man that they say is sitting off in the corner, cowering, can't even raise his face to heaven. Says, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, listen, guys, the one over there in the corner, the one who is a terrible sinner, he's the one who went away justified today. The guy that was standing up over there, he got everything he was looking for. He wanted to be noticed, and he was, but he didn't walk away justified before God, to whom it really matters. there's another story. You know, if we kind of put this together with the story of the woman, there were two people that owed someone money. And I'm just going to put it in terms that, you know, the Bible uses a different monetary system. I don't know what it means. So I made up my own. So this guy owed $10,000 to someone. Another guy owed the same person $100. Let's say the one whom the debt was owed to said, you know what? Your debt is forgiven. Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. Who do you think in that situation is more thankful? The one who owed $10,000, obviously. You know, if I owe somebody $100, that's a big deal. But if I owe somebody $10,000 and they say, don't worry about it, I'm going to be pretty thankful for that. That's a big deal to me. A lot of times when you look at the story of Jesus and you look at his life and the reason that he got so upset with the Pharisees, because they lost perspective. They were doing good things. I mean, I sometimes badmouth the Pharisees because it's like, man, these guys are idiots. But am I like that? You know, am I a Pharisee sometimes where I lose perspective and I say, you know, this is what I need to do to be a good Christian, you know, X, Y, Z. But they lost track of the important things. He said, you do these things. You tithe. That's a great thing. You know, you fast. That's a great thing. I love that you do that. That's dedication. It's hard to do. But you've lost track of the important things. I want you to take care of widows. I want you to take care of orphans. I want you to take care of the people who have been outcast and who have been cast aside by society. And I want you to say, I care about you and I love you. You know, one of the last things Jesus said before he left was, I want you to love each other the way I have loved you. You know, what's the greatest commandment? Anybody know? What is that? There's two parts to it. You got the second part. What's the first part? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He wouldn't let the two be separated. Okay, so the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But before he left, he said, I want you to love each other the way I loved you. So he added another one. And I think that we need to take that seriously. How did Jesus love us? He laid down his life. I mean, he laid down his life so that we could be with him for eternity. So when I lose sight of that, when I lose sight of the important things, taking care of the people who need it the most, I feel like a Pharisee. You know, I'm not saying don't do those good things. You know, I'm not saying, I think those are important and healthy and good for us to do, and they build us up and they bring us together. But we can't neglect the things that Jesus said were important. And I don't think Jesus is saying that justice isn't important. We need justice. And it helps to give us even more perspective as to what mercy really means. There's a quote from Billy Graham, and it's become one of my favorite quotes. And he said, you know, sometimes we feel like justice, we have to serve justice. Like we have to be the ones to point out who deserves it and who gets it. But you know what? If I'm trying to do that, I'm going to screw it up every single time. Because I don't know the whole story. So Billy Graham said this. It's God's job to judge. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's my job to love. When I start, you know, pointing my finger, you know, oh, why is that guy doing that? Or why is she acting like that? I need to step back and say, it's not my job. You know, imagine if I was trying to, just standing out on the street and trying to render justice to people going by. He's going too fast. He's going too fast. Come on, somebody get him. Litter. Hey, did you see it? He just did it. Litter. Can I write him a ticket? It's silly. You know, it wouldn't work. You know, if I'm trying to do that here, it doesn't even make sense. So why am I trying to do that when it comes to spiritual things? Let God do his job. Let him judge. He's the one that's going to take care of it. He sees the whole picture anyway. He knows every side of the story. He knows when people are telling the truth. He knows when they're lying. So let him take care of it. Let the Holy Spirit convict. I mean, that's not to say that we sometimes can't come alongside a brother or sister in Christ and say, you know what? I don't think that's right. We need to help keep each other accountable. And sometimes the Holy Spirit can use us to do that. But don't try and do it with everybody. I think we screw it up. That's my opinion, but that's my perspective, I guess. My job, I know, is to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, to love other people, to love my neighbor as myself, and to love people the way Jesus loved me. And sometimes I get that wrong. A lot of times I get that wrong. But if I can focus on that one thing and forget about those other things that's God's job, then I think I'm going to be a lot better off. And I think other people are going to be a lot better off too. So, perspective is an important thing. So I hope that we don't forget that. If you see me losing perspective, just slap me in the face or something, because I'm sure I deserve it. Singers, we're going to get back up and do one last song. And then I think we'll be dismissed.